You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
ClevelandBrowns.com is your most trusted source for Browns news, plus the latest photos and videos straight from the source. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com for everything Browns. That's ClevelandBrowns.com. Vic Carucci and Jim Donovan, who is sitting in for Nathan Zagura on this Football Tuesday edition of CBD. You just heard from the head coach, Mike Pettine. We hope to have him join us in a little bit here in studio. And he just met with the media. Some of the main takeaways from that, he was asked, of course, about Hard Knocks or turning the league down on that. And for the obvious reason, a lot that he's going through as a first-year head coach, and I think trying to just walk through that whole process with a team, with a lot of new players, new staff, a good time not to get into something that he knows how intrusive the cameras are, and handled it well when he was an assistant with the Jets. But he knows what this beast is all about, maybe not from the head coach's standpoint, but sure enough, he was as close to it as could be with the Jets in Cortland, New York.
Yeah, and the Jets were a little bit more of an established team at that time. That was a team that, you know, of course, Rex Ryan did it every year, but pronounced that they were a Super Bowl, not only contender, but a winner. And the other thing is, and he pointed this out to me about a week and a half ago, is that it's not just what you see on the show. There's so much more.
Yeah.
You know, we see the edited down version, but there's so much more that goes into it. I mean, there are cameras everywhere. I mean, you know, they do a great job covering it, but there's so much. It's so much more intrusive, I think, than we even can imagine. But in all his years of training to get to this perch to be a head coach in the NFL with the Cleveland Browns, do you ever think that he thought that he would be answering a question about an inflatable swan?
Yeah, and that he offered the reference to it. I mean, the media was not even using the specific
term. So he was ready for it.
Looking like he's having a wild and crazy time or wild behavior, and he threw out the, well, you know, not criminal with Johnny Manziel he was talking about, but, you know, I'm not sure if guys would be on inflatable swans, but I thought he handled that very well.
He did.
And, you know, the whole Manziel topic, obviously ranking some rancor with some media that we heard someone ask, hey, the folks that they work for want those quotes, want those interviews with him. Nothing is going to come from this mini camp with regard to availability of Johnny Manziel. So to hear that, he kind of put it in perspective that no quarterback, not Manziel, not Hoyer, none of the quarterbacks would be available.
Now, what will be interesting, and I throw this out to you, what will be interesting is when Manziel leaves here, like all of the other Browns players, and goes on his summer break, available will he be? Because that will be the next thing, being a part of the media, knowing the media. They will try and get him now away from Berea.
There's no question. Now, what I understand from a Browns-controlled standpoint, and I don't know if this – I'm going to only presume – And this is always a risky thing, that this won't, that this would apply during this so-called dark period you're talking about between the end of minicamp and the start of training camp, that there would be no one-on-ones with Manziel granted to anyone at all. And that's going to, that policy is going to continue into training camp, as I understand it. But you're right. His handlers, his people, are they going to do something that might compromise where the Browns PR staff is on this? And who are the Browns? This isn't a decision, just so everyone's clear. This isn't Zach Gilbert, director of media relations for the Browns, making this decision on his own. This is coming from the head coach. You heard the questions that were directed to Mike Pettine. This is how Mike Pettine wants to do this. The other good news, by the way, from the health, if we want to call it this, Joel Bitonio, Pettine saying an ankle injury, will be ready to go from the start of training camp. That was good to hear. Travis Benjamin could end up on PUP as he recovers from that ACL injury that he has. What else did he bring up? He talked about Chris Kirksey working at some outside linebacker in addition to inside.
And, you know, I could see that happening. Yeah. I really could watching him today. And, you know, it's funny now that they brought that up. I did see him at outside linebacker today.
Right. He's And look, there's a mirroring sort of thing that this team likes, this defense likes to do at the outside-inside position of linebacker and also safety. If you notice with Tashaun Gibson, Dante Whitner, safeties have to be interchangeable. They don't, even though you look at Whitner as a thicker athlete who is more natural physically to fill the strong safety spot, they actually want him to be able to change side, or you don't want to have the formations dictate to you where the safeties are, that you got to have the capability of playing both spots regardless of where you line up inside or outside.
Now, I was a little perplexed about Travis Benjamin in that I thought that he would be farther along. But as I go back into our book here, Vic, summarizing last year,
yeah.
I mean, that didn't happen until October 27th.
Kansas City game. Yep.
Yeah, so it was deep in October, and he did not have the surgery right away because, remember, they always have to wait for the swelling
right.
to go down. I mean, Hoyer had to wait a while to get that done. So, now it's a little bit more realistic to me that he is not there yet.
Right. All right, let's play a little after further review, if we can get into that with our producer, Matt Fontana.
After further review.
We're doing it right now. Go ahead, Matt.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, Matt.
Question number one, is there more pressure on Brian Hoyer or Johnny Manziel going into this training camp?
More pressure, I would say, I think it's got to be on Manziel. All eyes on, pressure's on the guy that has all the eyes on him. And whatever he is doing, and again, this is why, for those who would say, hey, push him out there, just let him go in that opener at Pittsburgh. A lot can go wrong. I know you can't fear failure. You're not supposed to. But if it does, doesn't it bring down that anvil of, well, we told you so. This guy really wasn't the NFL. And, those sweeping conclusions won't be made just at the end of a game if it's a bad game. That'll be made at the end of a bad series or a bad quarter. And I'm not just talking about Cleveland. I'm talking about that national spotlight on the guy.
Well, locally, I'm going to say it's Hoyer because he's local, okay, yeah. And he knows the area, and everybody knows him, and we only got a taste of him last year, but everybody liked the taste. But on the other side of things, I understand what you're saying. I mean, Manziel is such a national brand right now that it can be perceived that if he doesn't start the year, that, there are some things missing in his game, and I don't necessarily think that's true. I think, the perfect time for him is to wait. I really do, and I think that's what the plan still is, to make him wait a little bit rather than rush him in there and have a catastrophic problem.
After further review,
question number two, guys, and after further review, rank the top four running backs on this roster from number one to number four.
I'll go with Terrence West at number one, followed by Ben Tate, followed by Edwin Baker,
the touchdown maker.
I just like the explosiveness he has shown. And then I guess after that it'll be Chris Obenai. It's kind of once you get past the first two, it's a catch-as-catch-can.
All right, I'm going to throw a surprise at you here in my later list, all right?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I'm going to give Ben Tate a nod, okay, at number one. I'm definitely going to go with a very close second, this kid Terrence West, who is fascinating, and I think he easily could be number one. Number three, I am going to then move around, and now that you mention Edwin Baker, number four though, I'm going to make Baker three. Number four, I really like Marquise Gray as a running back, as a fullback, and
okay.
I want to put him in there because everything they ask him to do, he does it, and he does it pretty well.
I think he needs a lot of repetition as a blocker. I mean, I think he's going to need that. I think he's one of those guys that could become. It's hard to call him in my mind what that fullback position has to involve. Is some good blocking, and I think he's going to need a lot of work at that. The interesting wild card in all this could be Isaiah Crowell, who also got some time on the field today.
Yeah, right.
But we'll see how that works. It's way, way too – we haven't seen enough of him
to
really
until
know.
They really hit and put a running game in.
Yep.
After further review.
All right, guys, if you were Roger Goodell, what would be the penalty you would give to Colts owner Jim Irsay?
Well, it's a tough one. I think it seems to me like what I've seen – probably suffices. I think those who are trying to equate the punishment to an owner like a player, like I've heard references to, well, do you take revenue away that he could get as a team? Well, why is that, why would the revenue of the team come down to the individual? It's the entity of the team. He's the caretaker. Yes, he's the owner, but it's kind of somewhat of also a fiduciary role in your community that your team and its business, its support isn't just benefiting the pockets of the guy who owns the team. I mean, that's not how it works. It's a little more complicated than that. So I understand that there's a fine, and then he's away from the facility for, what is it, did I read 6 or 8?
Do you remember when Jim Tressel was going to go into the Colts, wasn't it, with the Colts, and have that position, and then he voluntarily took five games or so?
He's not coaching the team.
Right.
I mean, he's not having direct say. He's been a GM before, so he's got some savvy in that area. So cutting off any contact, I guess, if there's some personnel decisions that Gregson or the others would make at the hierarchy of that team. But I don't know. I think you're doing what you can do to at least make accountable somebody, yeah. But to equate it to an exact punishment like a player, I don't know that you can do that with.
You know what I would do? I would just hit him in the pocketbook. I would hit a heavy fine. It's not going to equate to what we're going to face.
Is
here.
It $1 million? I mean, what is in the sphere
what hurts
of
a guy owners, like that?
What hurts a billionaire?
Yeah, all right. More than what he had in his pocket that night, allegedly.
After further review,
all right, final one, guys. Should Jimmy Graham be paid as a tight end or a wide receiver?
Look, statistically, there's no denying that he's split out and plays that receiver position. But I also think strategically, that's the advantage you should have with a player that versatile. And I think by structure, if you're calling him a tight end who can split out and can also play something other than straight up wide receiver in coverage situations where that's a challenge for the defense. My feeling is that's what he is. He starts out as a tight end, and I don't know that he gets reassessed here to be a wideout. I think that, you know, the argument's going to be made, well, if you play a certain amount of percentage of time at a position, that's how you're supposed to be paid. But my sense is it says you're a tight end, you're a tight end. I think it gets a real complicated when you start to say, well, if there's some financial rules involved with playing a guy in a different spot for a strategic advantage over the defense.
I would pay him very well, and I would pay him as a very well-paid
tight end, right?
Yeah. And Tony Gonzalez, all of those guys. That's how I would pay him.
I don't want the guy to get to get shortchanged here or short-tripped. He deserves it.
He's
a tremendous, and I don't think he will either.
Yeah, right.
All right. Okay, Jim Donovan, who is with us here in place of Nathan Segura and Vic Carucci, yours truly. We're going to be joined shortly by the other half of the Donovan team, the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns radio team, the network team of Doug Deacon. He will come aboard, the analyst, shortly. And your calls at 216-578-0851. Also hear from you during the course of the show. And tweet us, please, at Browns_Daily. It's a Football Tuesday, and we're glad you're with us.